Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
Man, I'm feeling something like explosive, dynamite. You got any bomb-related stories?
Pull up to the second window and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. I am John, here with Jamie. How you doing, man?
I'm not explosive, so sorry to disappoint you there.
But I guess that could be a good thing.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, no explosive personality, no
I was thinking
illnesses.
Other things.
Yeah, I know. I'm just not going to go there, but I don't know. Sounds pretty interesting. Sounds like we're going to see something blow up today. So we got 10 minutes.
Someone, actually.
Oof.
This is straight out of the FBI archives, and it is a crazy case. So we're going to go back to 1989. We had a judge named Robert Vance who was assassinated. He was a federal appeals judge. And this case really not only shocked the nation, but led to one of the most extensive investigations in FBI history. So, Jamie, why don't you fill us in with some other details?
It was December 16th of 1989. Judge Robert Vance was at his home in Mountain Brook, Alabama, which is a suburb of Birmingham. And that day, he got a package that came in the mail. Now, this is the holiday season. It's not unusual to get packages, especially nowadays. It was still pretty normal back then, especially if you ordered it from the Sears catalog. But when Judge Vance opened this package in his kitchen, it immediately exploded. The blast killed him instantly and seriously injured his wife, Helen. Just 2 days later, there was a similar tragedy where Atlanta attorney Robert Robinson received a nearly identical package, and he died upon it detonating as well.
So this is crazy. I mean, you have two prominent figures who have been targeted and killed, both of which happened not in their offices, but rather in their own homes. This is right before Christmas, so to receive a package in the mail was not out of the ordinary, but I'm sure that when news got out about these two packages exploding and killing these two very important people, I mean, don't send your family packages in the mail this Christmas because everything's going to look suspicious, right?
I'm sure it made everybody feel really hesitant about that. And the FBI, along with other federal agencies, got involved. And the first step was to analyze the bombs, try to figure out where they came from. With assistance from the U.S. Postal Service and the inspectors provided from them, they traced the packages back through where they came from. Every fragment of the bombs was sent to an FBI lab for analysis.
Initially, investigators considered the possibility that the murders were linked to victims of civil rights work. However, this theory was soon dismissed as kind of a red herring. Then there was a significant lead that emerged. An ATF expert noticed similarities between these bombs and one that he had encountered 17 years prior. The individual responsible back then was a man named Walter Leroy Moody. So who is this guy?
Well, first of all, just looking at a bomb, being like, yeah, I think I saw one like this before about 17 years ago. Just, I don't know. Seems awesome, first of all, that he has that kind of memory, assuming he saw a decent amount of bombs.
I mean, what if there was something super uncharacteristic about it that would lead to you remembering it? Maybe that's the case.
Maybe. So Walter Leroy Moody had a history with explosives. In 1972, he was convicted of possessing a bomb that ended up injuring his then wife when it detonated. He served 4 years in federal prison for that offense, but it became evident that Moody really had deep resentment toward the justice system in general, especially with his own appeals to overturn his conviction being denied. And this grudge just seemed to intensify over the years, and he got more and more angry at the justice system before he lashed out in this way.
Yeah, and with him as the prime suspect, that's when the FBI could really dig deeper into this guy. They were able to scrutinize his purchases. They were able to look at who he was in contact with. And then most importantly, I think they were able to pull his phone records. Now, this is not cell phone records. This is in the 80s. So this is all landline calls. They were able to get the court to authorize surveillance, and they would record him in his home or wherever he was. And this is interesting. I don't think we've ever had a case like this, but Moody was a kind of guy that would talk to himself. And I don't know if he was doing this on purpose or not, but he would talk to himself. And once he accidentally, inadvertently revealed details about his plans and motives. So the dude literally snitched on himself.
Reminds me of Robert Durst on the Jinx HBO series, who went to pee and was confessing to his crimes into a microphone. I don't know. Like, I guess whatever's inside of you has a desire to come out.
It's like the telltale heart. It just has to get out somehow.
It has to get out. Investigators discovered that the additional bombs sent to the federal courthouse in Atlanta and the NAACP office in Jacksonville were attempts to mislead them into thinking the attacks were racially motivated. But the evidence pointed squarely at Moody and his vendetta against the justice system.
By the spring of 1991, with the efforts of the prosecutor named Lois Free, who would later become the FBI director, they were able to build a pretty robust case presented against Moody. So the trial was complex. Moody had meticulously tried to cover his tracks, but the mountain of evidence was undeniable. On June 28, 1991, Walter Leroy Moody was found guilty on over 70 charges, and he was also sentenced to life in prison for the two murders. Years later, in 2018, Moody was executed for his crimes, closing a pretty dark chapter of judicial history. Not very often that we cover someone who was actually executed, but this one was, and he murdered two pretty prominent members of society. So I think that when that happens, I think the path to execution becomes a little less treacherous.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that these stronger sentences come when it is a public figure. I think everybody, I'm not pro death penalty, but I think everybody deserves the same amount of justice, no matter your standing in life. But I was not sad to see him put away for the rest of his life, killing a judge, killing a prominent attorney. And I have no doubt in my mind that he would have continued to kill if he didn't go to jail.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's kind of crazy that a guy who saw a bomb 17 years before this one remembered, oh yeah, this was made similar to the kind that Moody made. So thank goodness that guy had an incredible memory, or we could be talking about even more destruction.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of awards they're giving out at the ATF, but that guy deserves one, I think.
Absolutely. I would imagine there's not very many bombs that you have to see, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I don't know. Is bomb making still a thing that happens like on the reg?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. I wonder if there are like full-time bomb squad people in most cities, or if it's kind of a training that call Harold, he's our bomb guy. He's over at whatever department today, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting, but it's
always Harold.
Judges have a tough job. They put people away potentially for the rest of their lives, or even, you know, give them the death penalty. So I would imagine that you always kind of have to be looking over your back when you're a judge.
Yeah.
They need like full-time bodyguards.
Yeah. And I know I'm sure they get threats all the time, but it's also not often you see people act on those. And hopefully Moody getting caught was a deterrent to anybody thinking about it. But John, thanks for bringing this to us. This is this has been a really good one from the FBI archives, and we need to visit there more often. It's been a crime story in 10 minutes or less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media. Igniting conversation.